Titus, in Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced, because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, no doubt you have heard, we've talked about just this week on the program about the Andy Stanley Unconditional Conference that took place a week or so ago in Atlanta, Georgia. I guess it was the end of September that he had this two-day. It was touted as a two-day premier event for the parents of LGBTQI plus children and ministry leaders looking to support parents and LGBTQI plus children in their churches. And it promised, "You will be equipped, refreshed, and inspired. We desire this time to be healing and restorative. We invite you to listen, reflect, and learn as we approach this topic from," quote, "the quieter middle space." Well, it was indeed a gay-affirming conference, as one man who calls himself a pastor in Austin, Zach Lambert, who went to this conference, he said it wasn't a bait and switch. It was safe, supportive, and affirming of LGBTQI. He said, "I saw queer people leading at literally every level." And then he talked about Andy's sermon the next Sunday. And he said, "Well, I disagreed with his 1 minute of the sermon where he says that they believe in biblical marriage between a man and a woman." But he said, "I loved the 48 minutes of advocating for full inclusion for LGBTQI plus folks in the church." That was in the words of Zach Lambert. I put pastor in quotes. He calls himself the pastor and calls himself a Christian of Restore ATX, a church in Austin. He says he's passionate about equality, holistic justice, full inclusion, and the way of Jesus. Poor guy, he does not know the way of Jesus. In my opinion, the way of Jesus is the way of the Bible. That's what we follow, the Word of God, the Lord's will, the Lord's ways, the Lord's Word. And as Paul told Titus, there are rebellious men who are leading people astray. Well, to help me in this discussion, to talk about what is going on in the world of the church and this kind of teaching that comes in through a heavy hitter like Andy Stanley, pastor of North Point Church, who has a huge following and a huge impact on Christendom with his legacy. His dad was Charles Stanley, and just the church that he has built and the way he is, as Al Mohler said, the train is leaving the station. The train has left the station, in my opinion, and we're starting to see true colors come out. But to help me with this discussion is my good friend Ricky Shillette, the executive director of Living Hope Ministries. And Living Hope Ministries provides a safe place for individuals seeking restoration and healing from sexual issues. They provide weekly support groups, online support forums, in-depth discipleship programs, and active partnerships with churches around the world. Ricky has shared at First Baptist Texarkana on a couple of different occasions. He's been on our program on a couple of different occasions. I love this guy's heart for the Lord. I love his testimony, and I love the way he stands up and speaks up for the truth. So, Ricky, my friend, thanks for coming on today.
Well, good morning, Pastor. Good to talk with you this morning.
Okay, so Ricky, I'm assuming you're you're keeping up with what is going on, especially with Andy and all this third way or this quieter middle space that he talks about. And I wanted to get your opinion on that. You deal with people in the trenches one-on-one and with groups as you share about your own life experiences and what you've seen in the counseling room. So what was your take on the unconditional conference?
Yeah, this was a pretty fascinating way that this whole thing has been presented on multiple fronts. I listened to his sermon on Sunday morning because I didn't want to speak about something I hadn't heard. So I listened to the whole sermon. And to be honest with you, the majority of the sermon, if you listen to it coming from a Christian perspective, you would have thought, okay, I don't disagree with this. I don't disagree with this. I don't disagree with this. And there was a whole lot of things I didn't disagree with at all. In fact, there were some really good things that he said about how, you know, we need to teach people to love their children well. We want to help point people to help them point their children toward Jesus. We want to help discover what God wants to do in their own hearts of parents and how those parents can help their kids. All of that was great. He even said that he wanted to make sure that these parents who had children that were LGBTQ would know that they were never again going to be alone in your church, and they wanted the church to be a life-giving experience for them. I thought that was great. I agreed with all that. He said that his church believes that marriage is only between a man and a woman committed for life. Those are all doctrines and beliefs that I think most Orthodox Christians would sign off on. The only problem with that is that he talked about how, though his church believes all this, he said, look at what we do. And I was thinking, okay, let's look at what you do. And what he did was he had a conference that brought in a whole team of people who basically all support the idea that God has created people to be gay or transgender or some LGBTQIA plus affirming kind of belief, and this is just who they are. And you simply had to understand that. They couldn't change that. And he even went so far as to say, you know, at one point that the idea that these people who feel this way and didn't ask to feel this way, that for them to remain single was just not possible. It was not sustainable, I think, were the exact words that he used. And that just struck me deeply because I thought, well, I don't know that any walk of holiness and righteousness is actually sustainable by humanity unless Christ has intervened in our lives and we have surrendered to his lordship in our lives. And so the thing that disturbed me the most is I felt, I want to believe Andy. I want to believe the things that he's saying, but the reality is he was saying one thing but doing something very, very different. And that double-mindedness there, the Bible tells us, makes you unstable in all your ways. And this is not necessarily something new for Andy. I mean, there's been lots of instances 11, 12 years ago even where he was talking about some of this in his church. And almost at every occasion that he had, he talked about it in ways that were pretty affirming. This is just simply who people are. And Pastor, you know as well as I do that the reality of LGBT people in our congregations and in our communities is a reality. It's there. I mean, there, you know, we have gay marriage in America today. And right. So despite the fact that we as Christians don't believe that that is marriage, the world has said that it is. And so these are realities the church has to deal with. The difference is, do we as the church abandon historical Orthodox Christian beliefs and embrace things that the Bible clearly speaks against, or do we speak truth in love to say to people, we understand you feel the way you do, but simply because you feel that doesn't make God okay with what we feel, because every one of us feel things that we shouldn't feel. Right. And that's where my heart breaks for this.
Well, I know Michael Brown, there was a clip going around, apologist Michael Brown, and he said that he had spoken out against Andy, and Andy then contacted him and said, "You've never talked to me." And he said, "Well, I didn't know I could get in touch with you." And so he said Andy was very kind and gave him his contact information. And Michael Brown said, "I tried for 8 months to get Andy to tell me what he believed about homosexuality." He said, "I asked him every way I knew to ask him. It shouldn't be a hard question, right. You know." And he said Andy would not answer the question. He kept, you know, just kind of skirting the issue. And he said, "I have to just, you know, say with the masses, hey, this guy, he is gay affirming. There's no two ways about it. If you won't answer the question," I was thinking to myself, Ricky, if you had asked the Apostle Paul that, he would have given you a straightforward answer, along with all the apostles and all the, you know, Old Testament saints. I mean, that's not a that's not something that you have to crawfish on.
Right. It's kind of like asking, you know, is it okay for a married couple to commit adultery? No. I mean, it's right. A simple answer. No. You know, and so this idea, what has taken place, and what I believe the, you know, the devil and in some ways the LGBT community, now that I'm not necessarily equating those together, I'm not, but I do believe that, you know, this is a spiritual battle as much as it is just a political battle and a worldly battle. But the reality is, this is bigger. This is a spiritual battle, because ultimately this is about the gospel. Mm-hmm. This whole thing is about the gospel. This is about what we believe saves you, what we believe the gospel does for you. The fact that a person feels what they feel, or that they were born a particular way, those things are realities within our world. We all feel all kinds of things that are sinful. That's the sinful nature in which we inherited from our Adamic father, you know, and so we know that that's true. But at the same time, Christ comes and he says, "I've given my life to you to redeem you on the cross, and therefore you must be born again." And this idea of being born again means that the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so just because I feel what I feel doesn't mean that everyone else has to sign on what you feel, when what you feel goes against what the Lord says you should be and who you should be.
Well,
so No, go ahead.
No. Finish your thought.
Well, you know, when we look at the teachings of Paul, like from Ephesians, when I was just teaching on this last night, when, you know, he says to the Gentiles who were deeply involved in homosexual activity within that Greco-Roman culture that they were in, he said, you know, I'm the apostle that's come to preach to you. And in Ephesians 4, he says, "Now that I testify that you must no longer walk in the ways that the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They were darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them due to the hardness of their hearts. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greed, and practice every kind of impurity." And he said, you've got to get away from that. You've got to put that behind you. And what do you have to do? You have to put on a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, that's the call to every believer. You know, it's not just the LGBT community. It's every believer. You feel things and you want to do things and you desire things that are not what God called you to be. And the beauty of the gospel is that when we receive Christ and we understand what he did for us, he transforms us into a new creation that can live a life that we couldn't live without the empowerment of the Spirit of God within us. But that's the beauty of what Christianity is about. That's the hope of the world. That's the beautiful invitation that we give to people to say, hey, you don't have to be a part of this malaise of sinfulness that ultimately leads to death. But you actually can have this life abundant that Christ has died to secure for you.
Amen. Well, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And if we're not speaking the truth in love to a lost and dying world, we're not helping them at all. The most unloving thing you can do to a person is lie to them. Because when you tell them they're fine the way they are, when they desperately need to repent and believe in Jesus, you're blowing up the bridge of salvation, because you're giving them no reason to repent and turn from sin to the Savior. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to my good friend, Ricky Shillette, the Executive Director of Living Hope Ministries. And Ricky has helped many, many people over the years escape from a life of sin to a life of blessing, walking with Jesus in the light. We're talking about the Andy Stanley situation and this idea that it's okay to be, quote unquote, a gay Christian. You're not going to want to miss the rest of this program. Don't go away.
This is Walker Wildman with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Walker, the man Tembe, lives in Mozambique, Africa. He grew up as the grandson of the village witch doctor, so he had no idea who Jesus is. But he eventually married, had two sons. One day, those sons went missing. They put together a search party. They found out these boys had been murdered, killed at the hands of the grandfather and his world of demons and child sacrifice. This put Tembe and his wife into a severe depression. A Christian invited them to come learn about Jesus, and they have now come to place their faith in him, but the story doesn't end there. They've gone on to lead 200 people to Christ who look at these two and they see people who have the grace and gumption to move forward in life. And listen, every gift today as we send Bibles to Mozambique and other parts of the world will be doubled. Walker?
$5 sends one Bible. Yes, that's $5 for one Bible. $100 sends 20, and $500 sends 100 Bibles. Give generously at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. Sendbiblesnow.org.
When it comes to evil in the world today, people often make one of two mistakes. We either focus on it too much or too little. And yet the question remains, how are we to defend our souls against the powers of darkness? I'm Charles Morris. Join me on Haven Today, all week, for a series called The Christian's Warfare.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is so frustrating. But here's something that could really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for people with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. Plus, it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor and get 24/7 telehealth from the comfort of your home. And here's the thing. If you join before October 30th, you'll get your second month free and save even more. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. The deadline again is October 30th, so now is a great time to call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to my friend Ricky Shillette, the Executive Director of Living Hope Ministries. Ricky is an excellent Bible teacher. God has given him such tremendous insight into human sexuality, into what causes people to go the way of homosexuality. It's amazing what this guy can do on a whiteboard. He can explain things in ways. Ricky, I've told you this before. It's the best. When you did that talk on homosexuality, it's the best explanation I've ever seen on why that happens to a person, and you just explain it so well. So I want to play you a clip from a recent Andy Stanley message, and then I want you to give me your feedback on it. You know, we were talking about Andy Stanley, and he seems to want to tiptoe across a line. He never wants to just say, "This is what I believe." As as in another interview with Michael Brown, they were asking him about the virgin birth, and he said, "Well, I would never come out and say I didn't believe in the virgin birth because that is a career-ending statement." And I thought, "Well, Well, are you doing this as a career, or are you preaching the gospel and holding to the truths of Scripture? But anyway, let me play this clip. It's just a little over a minute, and then I have you comment on it.
Number three, the faith of the next generation is worth, okay, here we go, leading our churches to acknowledge there are gay people, not just straight people, with a sin problem. Now, what does this have to do with the next generation? It has everything. To be clear, we don't need to get the next generation to acknowledge that. They assume that. But as long as they think that we don't understand that, they can't hear us. They just can't. Now, is that fair? No. Is it even fair? Should it be that way? No. But it's just that way. And this is so complicated, and this is so difficult. Now, if you're gay, don't hear me saying you're complicated and you're difficult. You're not the problem. The church is still trying to adjust to a reality that we struggle with, and we struggle with it for good reasons. Now, this is so easy personally. In fact, I don't know all of you, but I bet for 99% of the people in the room, this is easy personally. You know gay people, you have gay friends, you have gay relatives. You may have a gay son or daughter or granddaughter. You know, you do business with gay people. Gay people come to your church. You're not like, In fact, it's the opposite. It's like, I think they're gay. There's gay people here. This is great. I love our church. We're, you know, I mean, and if you're gay, I know, just be patient with us. We're weird, I know. But you understand because you're here because you love Jesus and you probably grew up in church and, you know, we're trying to figure this whole thing out.
So, Ricky, in that clip, he a couple of things jumped out at me. So the issue, he says, is complicated, and he says we're trying to figure this whole thing out. Now, I know with individual people, when you sit down, and you do a lot of this, you sit down with individual people and you go through the difficulties of that person's life. But the issue on whether this is right or wrong, that's not complicated. So weigh in on that, if you would.
Yeah, it's not complicated at all. I mean, it's very, very simple. I tell people all the time, this isn't rocket science. I mean, this is just straight understanding the way God has created us and the fact that because of sin, we're all... we can all be distorted in our understanding of our sexuality and our sexual expression and just about everything else in our life for that matter. And so the Word of God helps redirect us and helps teach us what it is that God intends for us to be. And so when we look at Scripture, we see in the beginning that God created them male and female. His design is for the two of them, male and female, to come together as one and to be procreative in the world. Part of the whole reason of, as I understand it and read in Scripture, the whole purpose of God's directive towards sexuality, the actual command to be fruitful and multiply, is for the purpose of procreation. And so the potentiality of that procreative reality as we image God in the world mandates a male-female binary committed relationship. And so to do anything other than that is to say that we're going to do something less than what the God of creation has intended. And so, no, it's not complicated at all. And we have passages like 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 that list a whole bunch of sinful activities and says if you continue in these activities, then you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, why is that? Well, it's because it is an affront to God. You have chosen to be disobedient to the one who has created you. And so when we come to God and say, well, ultimately, God, I can't live by this command that you've given, or I can't live into this identity that you've placed upon me as an image bearer, and so therefore I'm going to recreate myself as a gay person or as a trans person or whatever the choice might be that's different other than his design as man and woman living in a committed relationship or living as a celibate single individual devoted to Christ. We affront the creator of the universe. You know, we insult who he is and basically decide that we are God and he is not. And so I would say that that's a huge problem. And yes, homosexuality, as well as all kinds of sexuality, is incredibly complicated. There's no doubt about that. We're complicated beings living in a very complicated and multifaceted fallen world. And so life is complicated, but the truth of God is simple, you know. That's mm-hmm. why children can understand it and believe.
So, Ricky, in your ministry, I was looking online this morning. you get attacked pretty regularly by the LGBTQIA plus community because you stand for scripture and because you stand for the truth. Explain that a little bit, because you're trying to help people trapped in this, but they don't like the kind of help you give.
Yeah, and usually because they don't really know the kind of help we give. They assume a lot of things that aren't true. They talk about, you know, us hating people or shaming people or trying to tell people that, you know, God doesn't love them or they should hate themselves. And the truth of the matter is we do the exact opposite of that. We let them know that God loved them so much that he died for them and that he wants to restore them to his design, because his design is best for them. And we have, you know, support groups for not only the folks who struggle with all the LGBTQ stuff, but also for the parents, the kind of conference that Andy was holding. We have a parents group and have had a parents group for 35 years now. And we have multiple groups, in fact. And we teach those parents not how to disown their children, but how to love their children. You know, one of the false premises that were presented by the folks that were actually leading this conference with Andy, which were the McDonald's, one of the things they said was that they had to choose between their faith and their child. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a false dichotomy. You don't have to choose about loving your child or leaving your faith. Those things don't have to happen. We teach parents how you can hold firmly to your faith and love your child well at the same time. Now, that doesn't mean you applaud and celebrate and affirm your child's decisions any more than it would be if you had a child who was addicted to a drug, and you're going to love your child and you're going to hold on to your faith, but you're not going to say, well, it's okay for you to do this because this is just how you feel. You just love these drugs and think they make you better, and so it's fine for you to do drugs. Well, no, it's not. That's not good for you. It's not how the Creator wanted you to live. Right. And so we want to help people hold on to their child and hold on to their faith. But at the same time, I would say to you, the scripture would even go further than that. Jesus would go further than that, because in Luke and in Matthew, he says that ultimately, if there is a time that your child demands you and commands you to affirm a lifestyle that is different than that of Christ, or that you have to celebrate something that Christ strictly forbids, Jesus actually says that if you're not willing to really hate your mother, your father, your child, your sister, your brother, and come after me, then you're not worthy to be my disciple. Now, we don't ever preach on that passage. Nobody likes that. I don't like it. You know, but the reality of Christ says that if you don't make Christ supreme, if you don't allow him to be the sovereign Lord in our life, then we really don't know him. We really aren't following. We're doing what the Israelites did in Exodus 32 when they came off, you know, they were waiting for Moses to come off the mountain and give them a word, the Ten Commandments, and he took too long. And so what happens is Aaron listens to all the people who say, hey, we need a God. And so they make a golden calf and they begin to worship. Now, all the people, and you can read it in 32 of Exodus, chapter 32, where the people believed in God, but they were worshiping an idol. Well, I think the same thing happens today. We hear the cries of the world and the pain, the genuine, real pain and difficulty that many are dealing with. And rather than speak truth into that that brings life, what do? We say, well, we'll raise up something different to accommodate and to make all this feel better. But in the process of everyone feeling better, we're losing our souls. And so, I tell parents all the time, I want your child and you to end up in heaven together for eternity. I would rather you have a difficulty with your child right now, though we're going to do everything we can to keep you together and to keep you connected and keep you in relationship. But if there needs to be some separation at some point, I would rather that separation happen in order to bring your child to repentance than I would for that child to spend eternity separated from you.
That's a great point. Well, Ricky, when parents deal with this with their children, and no doubt that's a very heartbreaking situations, very, very difficult. How do I navigate these waters and those kinds of things? You know, I've always maintained that Christians can get fouled up in a lot of different sins. Lot's called a righteous man, but he doesn't appear very righteous in the book of Genesis. So,
right.
But this idea that I can hold on to this sin, whether it's homosexuality or some kind of sexual immorality, I can hold on to this sin and come to Christ and be a Christian. Why is that not true?
Well, because he calls us to die to ourselves. You know, he says in Mark and in the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, he talks about how if anyone, you know, comes to me, then we're going to have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to take up our cross and we're going to have to follow him. Whoever doesn't lose his life, you know, is not going to find it. And if you lose your life, you find it. If you don't lose your life, you're going to lose. If you don't surrender to him and lose your life, then it's going to be a problem. And right. So that's what Christ calls us to. And that's such a hard thing for all of us to do. I mean, the idea of discipleship, to be a disciple of Jesus, is to say that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And that's hard because I want to live for me. I don't want to live for Jesus. That's an ongoing battle. And it's why Paul says he gets up every day and he said, you know, I beat my flesh into submission that I might not be disqualified for this high calling in Christ Jesus. Well, why does he say that? Well, because every day there is this rage, even within his very Christian self, to say there's parts of me that want to rebel against God. There's parts of my flesh that want to just do what I want to do because that's the easier path of least resistance. And Christ says, no, you're going to have to die to yourself. And it's when you die, you'll fully live. And so all of us are on this path of surrender to Christ so that Christ can really live in us. And I think it's one of the most heartbreaking things with parents is because when a child comes out to you, oftentimes the parent feels, number one, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? Number two, all the dreams and the hopes I had for my child are now going to be gone. They're not going to marry. I'm not going to have grandkids. I'm not going to, you know, they just go on and on about all the things that are not going to happen. And so in a very real way, there's a sense of grief and loss without the finality and the absoluteness of death. And so this parent is like, oh my gosh, how do I navigate this? How do I live this? And then the child has been told by the LGBT community that you get your parents and you tell them that they either have to celebrate and affirm everything about you, or number one, you'll kill yourself. Number two, you won't have any relationship with them whatsoever. And so the parents begin to say, well, I'd rather have a gay son or trans daughter than a dead son.
Right.
Or I'd rather just say, okay, we're not going to talk about this ever, and I'll just affirm it, and we can keep relationship. As opposed to saying, well, I'm really sorry you feel that way, but we've never asked you to change the very thing that was the foundation of how we raised you, this faith. We've not asked you to change that. You know, we've not even asked you necessarily to stop doing what you're doing to have a relationship and love from us, because we're going to love you no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to celebrate that which God forbids. And that's true in any sinful activity that's taking place, not just sexual.
Right.
And I think that's really hard for parents. It's tough. And a lot of times the child is extremely manipulative and really kind of blackmails the parents to say, if you don't celebrate, then you're cut off.
Ricky, when you came to Christ, and it's very dramatic how you came to Christ, but now that you had the homosexuality in your background, were you thinking I need to turn away from this in order to receive Christ? What was playing in your mind? We only have about a minute and a half before the break, but can you answer that briefly?
Yeah. No, I didn't necessarily know that I needed to turn away from it because I didn't know that much about Scripture. I just knew that I needed something other than what I was experiencing at the moment. And I knew that Jesus was the answer to that. And I knew that when I surrendered to him, in order for me to be saved, I had to believe that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he had died for me. And because he had died for me to redeem me, he was going to take on all this sin that I knew I had in my life. And I had to surrender to him. So whatever he said, I needed to do. Much like if I had joined the military and they said, okay, here are the marching orders. Here's what we got to do. You listen to your captain. Well, I needed to listen to my captain. And as I grew in Christ, I began to discover more and more about how he wanted me to live. And as I saw that, I realized, wow, this thing that I feel, this homosexual attraction, I have to ultimately surrender. Mm-hmm. And he will help me in that surrender. And he's been faithful to do that.
Amen. I think about my own salvation, Ricky, and it wasn't like, well, turning from sin and turning to the Savior. It was a surrender. He was
Absolutely.
God, and I had to surrender to him, and I did. And I meant that. When I said, Jesus, save me, I meant that, and I surrendered my heart. And he will save anybody who will surrender to him like that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, talking to my friend Ricky Shillette, the Executive Director of Living Hope Ministries. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines. Maybe you have a question for Ricky, 888-589-8840. Don't go away.
Are you able to stand steadfast in this post-Christian world? Join Frank Turek, Gary Habermas, Hugh Ross, Richard Howe, and more than 40 other speakers for Southern Evangelical Seminary's 29th Annual Steadfast National Conference. No matter where you are on your faith journey, you will leave this event better equipped to penetrate the culture with the gospel and defend the truthfulness of Christianity. It all happens October 13th and 14th at First Baptist Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Register now at ses.edu/nationalconference.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama radio show, beginning daily October 16th on AFR. I'll serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your family. The show begins October 16th, and I can hardly wait to prescribe hope for healthy families. I'll see you there.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
Fall Share-a-Thon is coming October 10th through the 12th.
Thank y'all so much, y'all, saving our country. I want y'all to know a lot of people. Thank y'all for that, in Jesus' name.
The more things fall apart, the more they are falling together.
The American Family Association and American Family Radio has impacted my life, reporting about the truth and exposing the cover-ups in the government and in the media.
The world is going to be the world. But Jesus is coming back.
Thank God for a great Christian radio station and what you guys do in impacting the kingdom.
Fall Share-a-Thon is coming October 10th through the 12th on AFR.
Listening to AFA has been the joy of my life. I just appreciate y'all so much. We need more people like you in this world.
Thanks for your support during Share-a-Thon.
And I'm just so thankful that I have your radio station to get me through the day.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with Ricky Shillette, the Executive Director of Living Hope Ministries. And we've been talking about the Andy Stanley Conference, the unconditional conference, which was very, from the lips of the people there, very gay affirming. And the Bible is not sin affirming. The Bible is, points sinners to Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're all sinners, but no sinner can get saved holding on to sin. Jesus came to deliver us from sin, to save us from sin, not save us to continue to sin. As Jesus told the woman caught in the act of adultery, John 8, go and sin no more. You shall be holy, the Lord says, for I am holy. Ricky, I want to play a clip from Vody Bachum. And I when I first heard this, I was kind of shocked until I realized what he was doing. But he really emphasizes what we see in many mainstream and popular Christian ministries today. So take a listen to this.
Imagine this. I'm starting a sermon, and I'm like, listen, today's sermon is on wife beating. And before I start the sermon, listen to me carefully. I love wife beaters. I have friends who beat their wives, okay? So don't hear me today bashing wife beaters just because I'm preaching from the tip. Now, you hear that and you go, huh? That's how every sermon on homosexuality, well, not everyone, because I got some on the internet too, but that's how a large percentage of sermons on homosexuality start. With a 15-minute apology and disclaimer for everything that's about to come after. And then you close by reiterating the disclaimer at the beginning. Why? Because the 11th commandment, thou shalt be nice, which, when you exegete the culture, means thou shalt not be manly.
All right, Ricky, thoughts on that clip?
Well, I get what he's saying, and I guess on some levels agree with what he's saying. The part I think I don't agree with is, I think, because I've said those kinds of things and often do say those things. But the reason I say them is because I also know that sitting where I sit and hearing the individuals that I hear and talking with them, listening to their stories, there are so many folks who do struggle with this issue and who love Jesus and have heard from churches horrific things about who they are, how they are, where they're going to end up, how God really does hate them, and how they are an abomination as opposed to the action that they're, the activity that they're doing.
Right.
And so I do think that you know, there are times when we can make some apology for the wrongness of the behavior of the church, just as we would for the wrongness of the way that the church in years past justified slavery by scripture. You know, that's wrong too, and we should say that it's wrong. But I wouldn't agree with him wholeheartedly on that, and I certainly wouldn't say it's something that makes one less manly if you don't say that. Now, you know, Vody, he's a great preacher and a great expositor, and there are times when he can overstate something, and maybe that's, you know, kind of what's happening there. I don't know. But, you know, for dramatic effect or whatever, but that's not, you know, that, again, it, our approach at Living Hope, we love people, and we believe everyone is redeemable. We believe everybody is loved by God, regardless of how horrible and horrific their sin is. But we also believe that God, because he loved them, does not want them to remain in their sin and calls them out of that sin to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, by repentance, and by accepting Christ as Lord, so that we can live in accordance with his teaching. And we believe that's what the gospel does. It's what the gospel has done historically throughout the world since Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always kind of taken this approach, Ricky. You lift up the standard. This is what God says, and this isn't individualized at any, I'm not talking about any person. I'm just talking about, this is what the Lord says is his righteousness, his holiness, his morality. When you deal with individuals, then it's different. So it's kind of truth and love when you lift up what God says. It's love and truth when you talk to the individual. And so otherwise you can't talk about anything. Oh, you're talking bad about me. Or, you know, it's like, I'm not talking about you at all. I'm just saying this is what God says. Well, and I do think what he said was true about how we kind of bend over backwards to try and say, hey, you know, just... I'm not saying anything bad about you, and I'm not, you know, I have to, as J.D. Greer, you know, this is the hardest, we're preaching on Romans 1, it's the hardest message I've ever had to preach. And I'm thinking, why? You preach the, you speak the truth in love. This is what God says. I'm not agonizing over this, because thus says the Lord, and we have to get in line with it. Well, we are going to the phone. Go ahead.
No, I just think we live in a culture that's become so sensitive to anything to do with the LGBTQ stuff that we assume that simply by talking about it in any way, shape, or form is going to be hugely offensive to everyone. And it well may be, but it still has to be talked about.
Right.
And we can't avoid it.
Amen. Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840, and we have Noni on the line from Pennsylvania.
Naomi. Go ahead.
Naomi. Oh, they spelled your name. I thought it was you, but they put Noni on there. Sorry about that, Naomi. How are you?
It's good. And you and I thank you, you know, for having a show like, you know, like this, because a lot of people, they don't like to speak, you know, too much lately because they don't want to hurt their feeling. But to tell you the truth, sin is sin no matter what. And the question I want to ask Ricky is, Ricky, if all, do you think that all sin is detestable and is bad in the sight of the Lord?
Ricky, could you enter?
I think, let me clarify sin, the question, make sure I understood mm-hmm. you, that all sin is detestable in the sight of the Lord?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I think all sin is detestable in the sight of the Lord. I don't think that all sin is exactly the same. Right. I think all sin separates us from God and his holiness, because that's what the word says, that God is holy and he can't be in the presence of sin. But I do think that there are different aspects of sin, particularly when it comes to sexual sin. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 talks about every other sin a man commits outside of his body, but sexual sin he commits to his body. Now, that's not just homosexuality. That's heterosexual sin, too.
Right.
But he said that sin is committed against the temple of God. And because Paul believes and says, and the scripture says, that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore, to sin against the body is to sin against the temple of God, which is more severe than if I'm just thinking a bad thought or I'm lying to someone or something like that. Just like, you know, shooting you and killing you is worse than thinking that I want to kill you.
Right.
But both of those equally separate me from God.
Right. Very good.
Thank you for that question.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Naomi. The board is full, but I appreciate that question. I appreciate you so much. You're such a sweetheart. I love getting calls from you. Aaron from Mississippi has a great question, Ricky. Aaron, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm as guilty as anybody else of just shooting off the hip and running somebody down for being gay. And it's my stupidity, I guess, or my ignorance for not knowing more about the subject and just taking it at face value. And I've got a couple of family members that are gay, and I know a number of people that are gay. One in particular is a real good person. I mean, a really good stand-up person. And I've always been confused on this. But is somebody created that way, or is that not a choice? I mean, my question, I guess, is if somebody's created that way, why would a creator create somebody? Why would God create somebody with something in them that's already an abomination to him? So I just want clarity on that, because
yeah.
I don't want to be judgmental like I have been before.
Yeah, great question. Go ahead, Ricky.
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that we get often. The reality is that we all have things within us that are bad things. We're all born, according to Scripture, with a sinful inclination. You know, we're all born wanting to sin. And so the idea that somehow just because we're born with this inclination that we have to accept the inclination, the reality is that Christ calls us to be born again. That's what he said to Nicodemus. He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so even if homosexuality is something that we're born with, which actually there's no scientific evidence that we're born this way, and I could give you a long, you know, you have to go to my website at livehope.org and look at my presentation that's on there, Why. It's called Why, and it'll explain where lots of folks' struggle comes from. not everyone, but lots of folks. But even with that, that doesn't excuse anything, because when Christ says this is who we are and how we should live, that's what we have to do. And so my answer, the quick answer, is everyone has things that we're born as that need to be transformed by the work and the ministry of Jesus. And he promises that as we surrender to him and trust in him, that he, in fact, will transform us. That's certainly what he's done in my life. It's certainly what he's done in the thousands and thousands of people's lives that I've seen come through Living Hope. And one of the statements you made about your friend is that you met this guy, and he's just a really great, upstanding guy. Just because a person struggles with a sin in their life doesn't make them necessarily a horrible person. And I think sometimes we conflate that. You know, we confuse that. You can be a really kind of upstanding person but still have a sin problem. I mean, David was sleeping with Bathsheba and plotting to kill her husband, but at the same time, he was an upstanding king that the Lord said is a man after my own heart. And so, obviously, we can be good people and do bad things. But at the same time, God calls us to repent of those bad things and surrender to him.
Yeah, good answer. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that question. You know, Ricky, I was thinking good people do bad things. The people that are really bad, the self-righteous people, the chief priests and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, those people were really rotten in a different way. They didn't have the external sins, but the internal sins, they were just mean and cruel and murderous and really not the kind of guys that you'd want to have as friends, because they would, you know, stick a knife in your back just as soon as look at you. So it's interesting how those play out. Well, we have a good question from David in Nevada. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Ricky, I have a son who identifies as non-binary, and he is becoming very active. He's just turned 18. In our community with the LGBT community. And the difficulty is we keep continually telling him truth when we're getting bombarded with anger and even hatred for the church and for us because we won't comply. And I guess one of my questions is, how do we pray for him? Because I know it's spiritual and just that I know I need to stand. And my wife and I, we do, but it's a bombardment constantly. So how do we pray for people?
Yeah. Well, David, first, I'm so sorry to hear that your son has identified this way, and it's actually something that's become quite common, particularly the non-binary identity within his age group and his generation. It seems to be that they have believed all of the lies of the world and they've kind of embraced this reality. And one of the things you're saying is that, you know, you're sharing with him the truth and he's rejecting that. He's fighting against that. He's pushing against that. You have other people pushing against it. I would say to you, I'm pretty sure that if you raised him and he's lived with you and you brought him up in church and all those kinds of things, he already knows what you believe about the truth. The most important thing is probably not that you guys quote to him a whole bunch of scripture or how he's a terrible sinner or, you know, any of those kind of things. But probably what's most important right now with where he is for you to actually spend some time listening to him, let him ask him questions, ask him tons of questions about why do you feel this way? When did you start feeling this way? What makes you believe this is true? Who told you that this was true about you? What is this going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 25 years from now? How do you see this playing out in your life? How do you navigate this, or how do you coordinate this with the reality of what Scripture says? And then when it comes to praying for him, just pray that God will transform his heart and that the scales will be lifted from his eyes.
Amen.
And he would see the light of Christ and repent. But
Amen.
That's something the Lord's going to have to do in his life.
Yeah, good word, Ricky. Ricky, we have other calls that we can't get to them. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can go to our website at livehope.org, and you'll see a contact tab. You can contact us, and those emails come to me, and I'll be happy to answer those.
Amen. Well, thank you for being my guest, my friend. I appreciate you and appreciate your
thank
ministry.
You.
God bless you, my brother. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. Go out this weekend, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.